Hello and welcome to On Mission, a podcast from the Catholic Apostolate Center. My name is Chris Pierno, and I'm joined on the podcast today by Father Frank Donio and Kate Fowler, and we'll be discussing the Synod on Synodality, an introduction with our very special guest, Director of Programs for the Catholic Apostolate Center, Jonathan Sitko. Welcome again to the podcast.
We do have to say that John is also on the adjunct faculty at St. Joseph's College of Maine. So welcome, Professor Sitko.
Wow, what an opening.
School of Theology. You know, well, you're teaching a graduate theology course in church leadership and management. Very exciting.
That is fair. And I did specify to my students to talk a little bit about the Synod on Synodality. So, because I think it's a good topic for something related to church management.
And depending on how this interview goes, John's up for future moderator of the podcast. That's a good tryout to see.
Yeah, we've been doing these tryouts over time. And John, you've been doing okay.
Oh, thank you.
William might be a little bit ahead of you, but that's okay.
That's totally fine.
Synod on Synodality. Some people have really been flip about this. They just, you know, it's like, oh, meeting on meetings. and it's like, no. I mean, sin means walking together, journeying together. It's the line underneath that I think sometimes people miss on, you know, communion, participation, and mission. Those are very strong words in terms of, you know, they can, in terms of how they are thought of and considered within the church. So when we look at this, I mean, you've heard about this. I mean, what's been some of your reaction? I've just been curious because I've been immersed in this. I have to tell you, in all the different venues in which I'm working for the Palatine Fathers and Brothers, for the Union of Catholic Apostolate, I've been for the Conference of Major Superiors of Men, for the Center, for diocese, all sorts of places. I've just been immersed in this from pretty much when it was announced. And so my view is a little more of a deep dive, but I'm really curious as to what do you, you know, and John, you've been doing a bit more of a deep dive into this, which is why we invited you on, because the project we're doing with the USCCB. But, you know, Chris and Kate, like what's been your reaction to this, you know? Not to say you're like an average person in the pew, you know, kind of thing.
I'll go first because I'll be very quick and easy. Outside of my work with the center, I think it's been a bit anomalous. But what I have seen, however, from parish life is that there have been these listening sessions taking place around this phase of the synod where they are the parishes and other groups have been inviting folks in the community to kind of come together. I know they did it at our parish, and Chrissy, my wife, took part in one of them. And I know over at Catholic University that they are going forth and you know, bringing groups together. So it seems to be happening at those levels. Personally, I have not been involved in it, but it's interesting to hear what comes out of that.
On a previous episode, we talked about the synod and what synod is, but I definitely have been learning right along with other members of the church on what specifically this synod on synodality is. What does it mean? Why is it different from other synods, but also how is it carrying on a tradition in the church that has really been there since the beginning of the church? This is something, the concept of synod and synodality is rooted in scripture and in the ancient church. And what you were talking about earlier, Father, with the kind of second part of the title and the themes being communion, participation, and mission. Those are all themes that we really talk about a lot at the Catholic Apostolate Center. So those things are not new to me. They go right along hand in hand also with accompaniment. But I think, you know, for some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with just A, what is a synod, and B, how can you have a synod on synodality? Would you, Father Frank and John, just share a little bit about those two words and what that means for the church right now?
So when you look at a synod, this has been going on for centuries. This is not anything new. What happened, though, after the Second Vatican Council, there were these periodic meetings of bishops. And there would be, in more recent years, there would be these consultations. By more recent, I mean like in the last 40 years, consultations that would be going on in preparation. And they would always have this kind of way of functioning, which they make a preparatory document. They might do some type of consultation. Then after that consultation, they make what's called an instrumentum laboris, the way to work on the way in which the work instrument is, you know, working document. And then they would have this meeting, which is usually about a month, more often than not in October, in Rome, about whatever the topic is. And we've had it on all sorts of things. During St. John Paul II. So if we go back to St. Paul VI, one of the more famous ones was on evangelization. And usually there's some kind of post-synodal apostolic exhortation that comes after these synods. And during St. John Paul II, there was on the laity, on the priesthood, on consecrated life, which have had effects. The documents that came afterward have had great effects on the church in different ways. Christi Fidelis Laici on the laity, you know, that post-synodal, that came off of a synod, the laity. Vita Consecrata came off the synod on religious life. Pastori Dabo Vobis came off of the synod on priesthood. Then you had other synods. So for example, with Pope Benedict on the Word of God, on the new evangelization. And then with Pope Francis, you've had the family, you had a more specialized one around, on Amazonia. You've had different synods on different particular topics over the course of the last almost 50 years. With this one, it's looking at the way we are as church. How are we journeying together? And Pope Francis, when he opened this in October of 2021, in a two-year process, in fact, there will be an instrumentum laboris, then there'll be more consultation, it's a preparatory document, listening sessions, instrumentum laboris, and then, and the listening sessions are broad. They're meant to be across the church. And I've been engaged in a lot of this in various places and spaces. And there'll be this instrumentum laboris will come out. That'll be looked at. There'll be more consultation. And then they'll make a second one. And so in October of 2023 is when the bishops will gather along with other representatives, that will be present there. He says there's three opportunities that we would have to work toward a synodal church. And by that he means an open square where all can feel at home and participate, not occasionally, but structurally. So it's not just, okay, you had your listening session, that's it, but that there were structurally. And again, like these themes shouldn't surprise us. They're very particular themes that are very, very much a part of the teaching of Pope Francis. A listening church, and listening is in two ways. To break out of our routine and pause from our pastoral concerns in order to stop and listen. And he sees this in two ways, adoration and prayer, and our brothers and sisters. There's a very powerful quote of his, to listen to the Spirit in adoration and prayer. Today, how much we miss the prayer of adoration. So many people have lost not only the habit, but also the very notion of what it means to worship God. To listen to our brothers and sisters, speak of their hopes and of the cries of faith present in different parts of the world, of the need for a renewed pastoral life, and of the signals we are receiving from those on the ground. So really, you know, what's really happening and how are we responding? So Evangelii Gaudium, let's be real. You know, this is again, very much a hallmark of Pope Francis' papacy. And then finally, which shouldn't surprise us, a church of closeness. He says, let's keep going back to God's own style, which is closeness, compassion, and tender love. He talks about bandaging wounds and healing broken hearts. So there's that church's field hospital. We've heard that again. So these are, again, this is now, let's look at this as church. Let's listen to one another carefully. And then how do we go forward from there? This is all part of a reform that is occurring and that has been occurring and that in some ways he was asked to do. But he's not going to just do this by papal fiat, but instead there's this massive listening, not only of members of the church, but people, particularly those who maybe people don't listen to. And that sometimes does make people concerned, but listening does not mean discerning and deciding. There are different ways. You know, and we all of this has to be in communion.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have too much to add on sort of the background piece, but I think for me, the sort of moving on to sort of like the synod more broadly, at least from my perspective, I'm actually very excited about this whole process because there's some who are very cynical that treat it as just like it, as was joked about at the beginning of this episode, it's just like the meeting of meetings and that sort of like cynical Catholic Twitter attitude to anything that happens from the church higher up means it's going to just sort of die on the vine kind of thing. But I think one of the smartest things that was done through this whole synodal process is taking the time to listen to the whole of the church through these questionnaires, through these participation pieces that Chris was alluding to within parishes and dioceses, that we're asking these kinds of fundamental questions about how do we as a church move towards mission. You know, we at the Catholic Apostle Center love the idea of participation, accompaniment, and moving to mission and community. It speaks to, you know, a variety of different touch points, but I think the church itself is having those fundamental conversations right now about those three topics because as pointed out in some of the preparatory documents and such like that usually comes out and came out with this, there's an importance on understanding that the church listens and understands that the church has credibility in talking about some of these issues. The preparatory document talks a lot about that, on the importance of communication and listening, of participation of the whole church, as well as those who are not, you know, in love with the church. And I think that's an important thing to listen to, is some of the sort of criticism of the church, et cetera, so that we can be an authentic witness of the gospel. And, you know, and I think that's just such a welcome opportunity, I think, that I have not seen in my brief life as a Catholic, this kind of real desire by a number of people within the church from top on down to hear and listen to the community of believers.
And so where are we in this synodal process? You know, when did it start? When does it end? Does it have phases? Can you share a little bit about that as well?
Well, I can go briefly. And I mean, a lot of this is on the Vatican's website. I believe it's just synod.va will take you to a variety of different resources. And it's a very helpful tool. Especially if you have not been either asked or found out about it from your diocese or parish, it's a good helpful tool to find a lot of this sort of international material. But we're in many ways right in the beginning of the process. Father Frank alluded to it. It technically started in last year, but in many ways, a lot of the materials and processes really began in earnest this year and won't really end until, you know, in theory, fall of 2023, but in reality, you know, with the Synod process will end in 2023, the hopeful you know, impact and ramifications of some of these activities will hopefully carry forward. But right now we're kind of in, I don't know, I guess you would say stage one or stage two of a 4 or 5 stage process. There's a whole timeline that gives sort of a bunch of stuff, and Father Frank talked eloquently about it, but we're really in the beginning. We're really in the beginning of this process.
And with a lot of listening, and this is the consultation that's being done is massive. And in some places it may not be happening at all, unfortunately. Interestingly enough, when there was an interim report, this episode will be in May, so we'll be back in the month of, I think it was around February, something like that. They were February, early March, and the report was clear that there were areas, particularly in Europe and even here in North America, that were not as engaged. Some were very engaged. The Global South, so Latin America and Africa, Asia, very much engaged. I see this even in my own Palatine conference right now. I've been coordinating listening sessions of all of our provinces and regions. So the Palatine Fathers and Brothers were 2,400 in 54 countries, and we're in 23 provinces and regions. And I see the engagement and the interest of my confreres in other parts of the world, particularly in those other areas. And not to say that my U.S. confreres weren't as engaged. They were, but partially because also religious, interestingly enough, have been much more engaged in this process as well, because in religious life, we do this often. We're consulting each other often as we prepare for our synodal gatherings of assemblies and these different body chapters, these different moments in which we make decisions, and we're always listening to one another. So there's always a local element to that, and then there's maybe a regional or provincial, and then there's a general one. So there's all this listening that goes on that then leads to this way of conducting how discernment and decision making is made. So in some ways, what's being borrowed is a process that is not that's very common within religious life.
And in one of the documents that we were looking through prior to preparing for this episode, they basically define, they said synodality, which is the topic of this synod, is a way of being church, characterized by active listening to the Holy Spirit and all the people of God, as well as dialogue between the sense of the faithful and the teaching authority of the bishops and the Pope. So it's essentially the church coming together to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's nothing outside of or the realm of, you know, where the church has been going all along. It's nothing new. It's nothing crazy. It's basically the church coming together and listening to the Holy Spirit, to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and then discerning how to take action based on that listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in grad school a couple years ago, I took a class specifically on ecclesiology, which is, you know, in many ways, the studies of the church and how it functions. And this idea of, you know, synodality in terms of how to listen as a church and have the Spirit move is goes back to the age of the apostles. If you look at, you know, in a variety of different sources, you know, the First Council of Jerusalem, which is, you know, the history, the church's history of councils, is, you know, listed right there and guided through the Spirit. And it's a continued thing throughout the millennia. In some ways, while the terminology might be a little bit newer, the Spirit and the meaning behind the word synodality is a term in the church as old as time. The idea of participation of all the faithful in moving forward the mission of the church is not, you know, hopefully you hear that on your in your Sunday homilies, for instance, maybe not all the time, but at least every once in a while. But when you think of like Pentecost or any of the discussions of the time of the apostles through, you know, all of the Council of Nicaea and all these types of things of the bishops, you know, discussing and collaborating with each other is no different than, you know, how it works on a pastoral council or how some of these activities work in a variety of other ways. You know, synodality is really just the participation of all towards movement to fulfilling the mission of the church. I mean, that's why mission and participation are two of the three pillars of the synod, and the third being community. Well, when we talk about community, we're not just talking about, you know, parishes per se. We're talking about the whole Catholic community, but also in particular those in parishes. But for what? To move out a mission, to be a listening church and a missionary church.
And that resource that I quoted a few minutes ago is from the Synodality Primer, and that was published by the Conference of Major Superiors of Men. So we'll be sure to include some resources for you as well. We have a resource page on our own website, and we can talk a little bit more about that, but I just wanted to make sure to mention that as well.
And really where this is going is in terms of co-responsibility for the mission of Christ and his church. I mean, we talk about that so much as Catholic Apostolate Center, because this is arising from Palatine spirituality, which speaks about holy cooperation, this communion of with the Trinity and going forth and discerning and the you know, this Pentecost moment, which, you know, Pallotti talked about as Mary Queen of Apostles. This understanding that we're doing this together, which is really which was Pallotti's original idea of lay people, religious, and clergy collaborating with one another. And that understanding of church is still something we're, even though we've talked about it, we've been engaged in this, and it became clearly in the Second Vatican Council, yes, we have different roles there, but we have to hear one another. We can't just end hear the Holy Spirit, which means that quiet that Pope Francis was talking about, the adoration, the time together. You know, some have tried to say, oh, well, you know, here in the United States, we're focusing on this Eucharistic revival and not on the, well, really, these two things dovetail, and John and I have activity in both. And, you know, maybe to talk a little bit about, you know, what we're doing with the USCCB related to this topic.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that part. I almost forgot about that important thing. When people have been talking about sort of the Synod or the Eucharistic Revival, a lot of people have been like, well, how are they connected? Well, in many ways, while the two events were sort of formulated or somewhat separately, but I don't know because I'm not a bishop, so I don't know all the workings of the USCCB and how long they've actually planned all of this stuff. But there is there are obvious connections between the two. I mean, the Eucharistic Revival, a big key component is developing a love. And I was on the last episode on the Eucharistic Revival, so I can speak hopefully a little bit back to that. But it's supposed to bring a little bit of a love of the Eucharist and the Mass, et cetera, et cetera. And the Synod, in many ways, is supposed to increase that love of the participation in the church in its various forms, various functions. And what Father Frank was alluding to is about 6 months ago, I guess now at this point, the center has partnered with the USCCB's Secretariat for Lady, Marriage, Family Life, and Youth to develop and host a number of webinars around this idea of synodality and lay participation in particular, because I think one of the big, not necessarily big changes, but I think a big point of emphasis for the synod has been the participation of the laity in the questioning, in the preparatory documentation, et cetera, which happens sometimes on a local level, but not necessarily as an imploring on the part of the Vatican for the whole wide church. And I think that's relatively unique. And we partnered with the folks over in the USCCB because synodality and lay participation are such important concepts for the church to function going forward. You know, it depending on where you are, you're experiencing, you know, priest shortages, consolidations, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to think in some ways, and this is where my church management hat's going to come up or turn on. We need to think of new and alternative ways to really function as a missionary church. And you know, synodality and lay participation serve as a potential model and methodology for going forward. Father Frank, you were a host on one and a guest on another, so I think you have some thoughts as well on this.
Yeah, they do. They come together very clearly. And it's also these are, again, they're themes that we as Catholic Apostolate Center spend so much time engaged in and about that we forget that they're not commonplace. This understanding that everyone is sharing in the mission of Christ and his church, how does that also play out ministerially, not only with clergy, but also with laity who are engaged in ministries within the church, and then all those who might be involved in things like pastoral councils and finance councils, and how are we accompanying one another? How are we walking with one another? You know, if we're journeying together, that's a form of accompaniment. That is communal. But again, not to just be fixated on ourselves, but to go out on mission, you know, title of our podcast. So these are very important themes. And where, you know, so people worry, oh, well, this is all going to go off the rails sometimes, you know, so you'll hear that. And they might look at other places where they think that's happening. The key part of this is that, you know, the point of unity within churches is Christ, and you have with Peter and under Peter, and so this is with the Holy Father, and also the Holy Spirit assisting us in this discernment as to the way forward. So really, this is a beginning, meant to be a beginning of, you know, you're not just simply have a post-synodal apostolic exhortation and then, you know, okay, we'll shelve this, but the beginning of a continuation of a process to build greater co-responsibility within the church.
Yeah, I think that gives me, in some ways, really good hope, is that there has been, in my discussions, I'm sure Father Frank, you've had similar ones, that there doesn't seem to be this sort of, especially by people who participate in it, there doesn't seem as much of this dismissal that it's going to be a dead letter, whatever comes out of it, you know, the end of next year, that it hopefully will serve as an opportunity for us to really listen and discuss how we function as a church, how we can move more collaboratively, co-responsibly, and hopefully forward as a missionary church. And I think that in particular gives me a lot of hope, because I think some of these other synods in the past, people have gotten a little too cynical. And I think that the fact that people are generally pretty optimistic has given me a lot of hope for how this will go forward in the next couple of years.
So for our listeners, we've covered a variety of ways, and we talked earlier about the listening sessions and how that may or unfortunately may not be happening depending on where you are. But, you know, what kind of advice can we give to our listeners on either how they can participate or follow along or support this process? Obviously, you know, if your community, your parish is having that opportunity for the listening session, obviously, we encourage you to be involved in that. But, you know, outside of that, how can our listeners be involved and follow along?
That's a pretty good question. I mean, there's the sort of, I kind of guess I would give two pieces of advice. If you, for whatever reason, your diocese or parish are not participating in synod listening sessions, I recommend going to the synod website, because it's available in English or Spanish or Italian, to download some of those questions that were asked as part of the synod process, and just sort of reflect on your feelings of the church in those areas. I use it as a moment of reflection on the church for yourself personally. And in a more broad, generic way, I would recommend following along to the center. Too much of a shameless plug, because we do have a lot of content both out already and coming out related to the synod, because it is a long process. It happens, you know, every 3 to 6 months, but still important to keep along with. And I would say follow along to some of the dioceses in your nearby area. I'm assuming if you're in a small diocese, I'm assuming your archdiocese that your diocese is attached to probably has done listening sessions. So I would say follow along to their accounts on social media or on their website to get a sense of like what similar people in your geographic area are feeling about the synod, about the church, you know, however you want to look at it. Because a lot of that data and a lot of the survey stuff will most likely come out publicly. It's some of the stuff has been encouraged to sort of be aggregated and interpreted, but a lot of the stuff is supposed to be shared with the general populace so that, you know, we have a sense of where the church is in your particular community. I mean, those are the two biggest pieces of advice I would give. Do you, either of you have any good suggestions?
I think that there are a number of opportunities in different venues. The key thing is that this is not, it is good to follow along and to see how the process unfolds, and that there will be other ways of participating. Some people are just saying, oh, you know, okay, we only have this listening, these listening sessions. That's not the end, because in the listening sessions, they're not meant to be moments of discernment, and that they're meant to provide encounter and participation. But the mission part of it comes later. And so to just say, well, I did my bit and be on your way, really is not what we're talking about here. Then you're missing the last 50 years of conversation, particularly 50 years, you know, from the Second Vatican Council on, about the full and entering the universal call to holiness and the full entering of all into the mission as baptized. And that's what's going on here. That's what the end goal is, that everyone be engaged in the mission of Christ. And people who don't realize that or read into this whole all kinds of other things need to maybe do some soul searching and rethinking, because sometimes they cast these things in strange political and ideological categories that really, that's not what's going on here. It's a continuation of what has been going on over a number of between the council and a number of papacies. And of course, started by Christ himself when he, you know, sent a particular, you know, so the Spirit came and off. The Holy Spirit sends them, you know, on mission. But you have to be in the community that goes forth on mission and comes back to the community. All of these things are, again, themes that we have talked about on this podcast, but that the synod is writ large trying to get the whole church to talk about all at once, which is quite something.
Well, this has been a great conversation on the synod, on synodality. A lot of good information about how our listeners can follow along, participate, but also to learn more about this process. The Catholic Apostolate Center has a resource page on our website, catholicapostolatecenter.org, on the synod, right on our front page. You should feel free to visit there, share it with your networks, and help to encourage others to follow along and participate in this process. Want to thank John for being with us on the podcast. Thank you, John, for your participation and time. Always good to have you. You can find more about this topic, as I said, on our website, on our other podcasts, which you can find on all of our platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, iHeartRadio. I assume they're everywhere. And you can also find all of our episodes from On Mission and all of our podcasts on our special podcast website, CatholicApostolateCenterPodcast.com. I encourage you to like, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Please share it with your friends and family and coworkers and pretty much anyone that you meet. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. That will always help get the word out about our podcast. And if you have suggestions or thoughts about what we talk about on these episodes, feel free to send us an email at info@catholicapostolatecenter.org. We'd love to hear from you.